Starting off today's show, though, we are going to be talking not quite about personal resolutions or new resolutions for the new year. I know a lot of people do those. And some people are kind of moving away with that. But in a new year, we're always thinking about not just what we want to accomplish that year, but how we can better our relationships, better communication, more appreciation, more healing. Our next guest is going to help us do exactly that. Dr. Mara Bouquet is a renowned trauma psychologist and the author of the new book, Break the Cycle, A Guide to Healing Intergenerational Trauma. And we're going to be talking about how to better your relationships coming up in the new year, 2024. Welcome to Culture Shift, Dr. Bouquet.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so the title of your book, now, this is a common theme among a lot of millennials and Gen Z. We're always talking about breaking intergenerational curses, healing this intergenerational trauma. And I think for maybe folks who are not in those generations, not on that kind of social media, it's kind of a, what does that even mean sort of question. So could you explain what you mean by healing intergenerational trauma and how you see that in your work?
Yeah, you know, I think it helps if we define what intergenerational trauma is, which is actually the only kind of trauma that can be handed down our family line. And it happens at the intersection of our biology, so our gene expressions and the ways in which they represent some of the stress and trauma that perhaps our parents, grandparents, and ancestors have gone through. And then our psychology, which is everything that happens after we're born and once we enter the world, if we're in a home where chaos is the norm, or maybe we have misattunement with parents or abandonment from one of our caregivers or both. If we go into the school system and we experience bullying, or our first relationship is one where there's toxic qualities, or we are out in the world and there's oppression if we have a marginalized identity, or we suffer a pandemic. I mean, there's so many ways in which trauma can show up in our lives, but it really starts off with emotional vulnerabilities that start off when our parents and grandparents are themselves in trauma, and then those gene expressions transfer on to us when we're conceived. So it's a very complex experience and phenomenon, but it's one that is incredibly common.
Do you see this? I mean, I'm assuming you see this more and more in your patients, more people reaching out to you wanting to talk about this exact thing. So could you talk about how you see this trauma manifesting in individuals and in their communities?
Yeah, you know, it actually was something that came from my therapy room, the actual motivation to even write the book and to even get into this area of generational healing, because I kept seeing it so much, literally in every person that I was working with. I was seeing some sort of thread from emotional pain of the past. And very often what tends to happen is that people come in and they, you know, perhaps have like an unhealthy set of relationships, and they can't get out of these patterns where they're constantly in some sort of a codependent process, or they may be stuck in cycles of manipulation, and they can't exactly pinpoint as to why those kinds of relationships feel like home. When we actually unearth the roots of the past, we start seeing, oh, well, you know what? That was the same quality of relationship that you saw growing up. Your parents also had those toxic elements within their relationship. And guess what? One of your grandparents also suffered that same fate. So we start seeing that there have been different ways in which the same exact pattern of relationship building and relationship formation has been in this family unit. And no one has really disrupted the cycle, either because they didn't know that it was a cycle that needed to be broken because they considered it the norm. Toxic relationships are just how relationships are. Or, you know, people perhaps didn't feel motivated to do the change. And so as a result, we see that modeled as children. And then as adults, we start developing relationships that mirror what we saw growing up.
We're talking to Dr. Mariel Bouquet, as the author of the new book, Break the Cycle, A Guide to Healing Intergenerational Trauma, talking about how to better your relationships and do exactly that as we go into this new year of 2024. Dr. Bouquet, now, you know, I kind of want to bring Tia into this because, again, millennials and Gen Z, this is something not only do we talk about on social media a lot, but we talk about with each other. Mm-hmm. I know Tia and I actually have a lot of conversations about healing intergenerational trauma, like what we're doing in our lives to not perpetuate these same mistakes. Mm-hmm. T, I kind of want to get you in here, Libby.
Yeah, we often talk about that, just like you said, just ways that we could lead our lives a little bit more positively, maybe taking a look at how we are addressing or approaching certain situations, scenarios in our everyday lives that may be something new to us, brand new. We're living lives and leading lives that are very new paths. So just trying to figure that out without having the stress added to our families when we're trying to lead different lives. So I just want to ask the question of how do we approach these new cycles, this new way of living without disrupting disrupting the balance of our families without doing it too much, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. You know, many of us, we actually want to break cycles, but within our families, not apart from them.
Yeah.
And so what tends to happen whenever we're actually not feeding the cycles, meaning that if there's an unhealthy pattern and usually you respond to that pattern and you start feeding the cycle yourself, that's just the norm of how things have been, you can start responding differently and responding perhaps from a place of feeling more settled and feeling less triggered. And that's the inner work that you would be doing that would then carry into your family life in a more healthy way. So when it comes to breaking cycles, I often caution people around, you know, actually erecting boundaries or separations that may be actually perpetuating toxic aloneness or disconnecting from families. Sometimes that is the only recourse, right? But many times, many of us really don't want to be separated. We want connection. We want to be able to be in a more healed self, but go into our families still feeling their love and the union that we desire from them. So, you know, what I most caution people around, if they do want to keep the harmony, is to back away from pointing the finger. Mm. A lot of the work around generational healing can be done within ourselves, without us saying to our family members, well, you didn't do this. And as a result, now I have to hurt and I have to be depressed. And what that does is that creates walls and it creates discord and conflict. So that's one of the things that happens to be the most common thing that people tend to do when they start addressing intergenerational trauma that I usually caution us against, because it actually isn't going to be helpful. And the people that you really want to hear you, your family members, are going to close their ears. They're not going to want to hear it because they're going to feel blamed.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Bouquet, you know, I want to lean into that a little bit, because another big conversation, and I think a lot of millennials and some Gen Z will have heard about this, and it's about going no contact, especially with parents who are in the boomer generation or Gen X, even for a lot of Gen Z folks, and going no contact because the toxicity of that relationship, it becomes so highlighted when you're trying to do that work as an individual, trying to do that healing. And, you know, I'll be honest, this is something I deal with in my own family. And, you know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking a lot about how in these conversations about going no contact with, you know, parents, grandparents, loved ones, in coming back into that, you want them to acknowledge what's happened and trying not to do that in an aggressive way, but at least acknowledge and at least maybe come to an agreement that you both can do better. I see a lot of people online, especially, saying that they just can't get those generations to even look at themselves or even really acknowledge that they want to have better relationships. So what do you tell your own clients when they're dealing with something like that, especially if you've had a long separation, maybe even years, trying to come back into those relationships, maybe as one healed person or go on that healing journey and the other maybe hadn't even started the journey?
Yeah, it's more common than you think, you know, for that to be the actual way in which families, especially the ones that have that no contact rule in place, to be experiencing each other. And very often what I need to do with my clients is actually engage in a process of active and intentional grief. And what that is the grief of letting go and really grieving and allowing us to process the sadness, the hurt, the anger of experiencing the families that we have, and being able to step into an understanding of the true family that's in front of us. So there's this concept that I call our false family and our true family. And our false family is a family that we have with all the aspirations of everything that they could be, the people that could hold accountability for the hurt that they've caused, the people that could actually say, I'm sorry, the people that could create change within themselves in order to not perpetuate further harm for us or for anybody else in the family. And the true family is the family that we can see in front of us with all of their wounds, with all of the ways in which they can wound others, and all of their complexities. We can see them truly as they are. So what tends to happen when we can actually see our true family is that we have to grieve the people that we wish they could be. Just like we grieve a person who is lost, we have to grieve that person as well. And it's a process that can be very liberating for a lot of people emotionally, right? Because it allows you an opportunity to let go in an emotional way to the tension that you've been holding in around the possibilities that you hold for them of them being able to change. The reality about boomers and older generations is that they had their own ways of coping through the circumstances. And a lot of those old ways happen to be avoidance. Avoid the conversation, avoid any responsibility, right? Like there's a lot of avoidance as a general collective coping mechanism that has been adopted by older generations. Not everyone, but a lot of folks. And so as a result, what we're up against, us millennials and Gen Z, is a collective guard that's in place that is very prominent and really hard to break down. Not impossible. I've done this work with my family, with my parents. And although I only see small changes that one might think might be insignificant, I just lean on those changes. I hold on to them. I show gratitude for them. And the things that I see that they aren't able to change either for me or for themselves, I allow myself a process of grieving that. And I do the same for the clients that I've worked with through a grieving process as well.
This is Tia Graham again, just jumping in really quickly. My question to you, one of my last questions, is about, of course, breaking cycles, breaking generational curses. But when we think about that, especially in a place, in a workspace, in a workplace, and you're talking a little bit about the guard, the old guard that's still in place, I think about that in corporate America or even just in general when we're in our workspaces. How would you, or what tips would you give those who are working in industry right now or whatever industry they may be working in terms of approaching that old guard and trying to break down some of those stereotypes, some of those different things that are happening, whatnot, and just kind of getting to a space that we can all come together. How would you approach that?
Well, to be honest, you know, I know that it sounds like perhaps we'll call it a non-conventional answer. Mm-hmm. But what really needs to happen for many of us around the globe, I might even add, is that we need to start settling our nervous systems. Mm. When two people are pinned against each other, they're usually looking at the other person as a possible threat, as someone who wishes ill for them, or someone who they have to fight in some way. And the reason why that's likely the case is because their entire body is in this energetic upsurge trying to protect them, because our nervous systems respond to the people around us, to our environments, including our work environments. And we start developing this protective guard. And so I say that in order to explain the fact that some of that guard is actually biological. It's our bodies responding. So when we start working with one of the things that we truly have the most control over, which is our own bodies and our own ways in which we can help it to feel more settled, we can offer our nervous system what I call like this gentle pause. And it's almost like this gift of time where you have 2 to 3 seconds that you gain back, where you can actually determine how you're going to respond versus responding to somebody who perhaps could be triggering at work and just saying the next thing that comes out of your mouth without actually thinking about it in any way, you can buy yourself that time, those 2 to 3 seconds, by settling your nervous system and then responding in a way that can be more connecting rather than disjointing and disconnecting.
Dr. Bouquet, I could not have planned a better conversation with you to start off the new year. This has been so beautiful. And before we even let you go, I do want to get into one thing there. I do want to acknowledge one for boomers and Gen X. A lot of them were raised by generations that went to war, went to World War II, silent generation who were in the Great Depression, so much trauma and that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can see this kind of this slow healing kind of happen as we get into Gen Z kind of coming up in adulthood, and the way we discuss and the way we interact with each other is seems to be changing. But the one other thing I wanted to bring up there, and you talking about calming the nervous system, that has been a revelation for me personally in the last few years since COVID, in order to kind of, handle healing better. Because one thing I want to bring in, you talk about feeling your feelings, like feeling the grief, doing these things. And a lot of people, I think, have an issue and trouble between analyzing their feelings. They know they're sad. They know they might be grieving. They know they might be happy, but they're not actually feeling it. And I think that plays into the nervous system issue you talked about. Could you go into that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whenever we can gain body awareness, meaning like we actually sit with ourselves and just like scan and acknowledge what emotions are there or what bodily sensations are there, typically we have an opportunity to really be more gentle with ourselves and be more compassionate with ourselves, which can actually help dull down any of those intense emotions. Not all of them, but it can be very helpful. Because often when it comes to anxiety or depression, we're just in the emotion and we're kind of stewing in it rather than observing it and acknowledging that it's there. And there's something really powerful that can happen when we not only acknowledge an emotion or a set of emotions, but we actually call it out. I am anxious at this moment. When we can say that, it offers us an opportunity to really settle that anxiety in a more profound way rather than stew in it. So it, in part, you know, some of the work does need to circle around awareness, and some of the work needs to be around like, what do we do then beyond the awareness point, which eventually will go into, you know, settling the nervous system so that on a more continuous basis, those anxious feelings can dull down, that state of depression can dull down, and then we can feel a bit more settled in the long term rather than just in the moment.
We've been talking to Dr. Mariel Bouquet, the author of the new book, Break the Cycle, A Guide to Healing Intergenerational Trauma. Dr. Bouquet, can you take us into awe, leading us through a nice deep breath as we begin this new year?
Absolutely. Wherever you are, if you can just close your eyes or lower your gaze and increase your inhale by inhaling in deeply. Hold it at the top and release your breath fully. And with it, just imagine all of your worries melting away.
I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Bouquet.
Thank you.